Hey, welcome to my first audio blog recording. I'm pretty excited to offer audio blogs in addition to written blogs. It's just great to have the option, so bear with me. I'm just getting over a cold as well, and I plan on getting through this without any edits, so when I, fumble over my words, just bear with me, please. This week's blog is a special one. They all are to me, clearly, but this one in particular is something I'm really excited to share today. The title is I Am Not Enough and That's Okay. I believe this is a series, a third part to the previous blogs, God is Love and Jesus Saves. If you have yet to read those, I encourage you to check those out before continuing here. God is Love was one of my first journal entries in regards to the faith. I had to do a follow-up to God is Love with Jesus Saves because both connect and collectively tie into the other. You cannot express God's love without Christ's sacrifice. And here I am now closing this series with the focus on Christ's righteousness. And I'll be honest, I was going to bypass this entry. A huge part of me didn't think that I was qualified to take this on. And it could have been the enemy, but here I am typing away faithfully. Glory to God. These entries are a tall order. It's hard to comprehend God's love and Christ's righteousness and to sum it all up within a few pages, but I want to share not only my experience, but scripture that breaks down the meaning and context and offer insight to readers to further understand. I don't expect every reader to get it, but the whole inspiration for writing this blog arose from getting to the basics and sharing what I've learned and what I'm continuing to learn in the faith. Regardless of the tall order, I just want to use this outlet to share the good news while obediently doing so. After I had my first son, Roman, my cousin came over to visit. She brought along her children and a generous gift for the baby. I'll never forget the thought that she had put into this present. She even got me a coffee mug, and the coffee mug said, "Best mom ever." Wow, I thought, what a compliment coming from an incredible mother herself. She hasn't even seen me in this new role as a mother, and yet she gifted me with this. Though I felt honored, I avoided drinking out of it because I just didn't feel worthy enough to hold the title of best mom ever. Now, some may read that and think, you deserve it, or, you're thinking too deeply about it. It's just a mug. But truthfully, it was a hard recognition of my failures. Anyone who's had a newborn knows the challenges you face. Becoming a mother smacked me in the face with the realization that I am not enough, even on my best days. It challenged all my notions of perfection, and it removed any illusion that I could somehow give my newborn everything he ever wanted. I failed to show up happily, inviting every cry. I tried to imagine every parent knows this and that it's okay to not be enough. And yet when I admitted and I own the fact that I am not enough, that even on my best days I fall short, I finally discovered the, quote, power, unquote, that I am enough failed to offer me. I know I'm a good mom, heck, a wonderful mom, but the best? No, because I'm not perfect enough to hold such a title. And the great news is that it's okay. Insert breath of relief. Now, I share this because it is relative to my walk of faith, and as I've mentioned before, my walk has been progressive. Often I reflect on how I lived then and how I live now. I hold grace for others that are progressing in their faith, and when I say I'm saved, let it be known. This does not mean that I'm special or self-righteous. I once thought I was saved simply because I was seeking Christ and growing slowly in my faith, but I lived no differently from how I was prior. During the early progress of my faith, I remember having a conversation with my husband, and though I don't remember exactly what it was about, I do remember feeling discouraged in regards to not being enough. I felt like there was such a high standard on how I was to be and how I was to live, that God's requirements weren't ever something I would be able to obtain on my own attempts as a Christian. I said the words, "What's the point? If we aren't ever going to be good enough, then what's the point of even following?" It just felt unattainable to be enough in general for any role, And I was starting to recognize that I'll never be good enough or holy enough. And my husband said to me, well, that's the point. Here I was on the verge of giving up. Prior to a true conversion, I was ready to toss in the towel because what's the point? Similar to something my mom once told me when I was going through the early stages of parenting. She told me that I was trying too hard. Salvation is not something we work for, no matter or no amount of good works will help us gain God's favor or merit His grace. The Bible says no one is good, not one. And no, our goodness doesn't remove our shortcomings or our sin, and nor does it any amount of good works. Only Christ can and has. There is nothing that we could do to save ourselves. We could never be good enough, and we could never work hard enough. We could never be perfect enough, but we don't have to be. You and I are not enough, and that's exactly why Jesus gave His life for us. Here's an encouraging reminder that Jesus' last words were, "It is finished." The good news comes in 2 Corinthians 5:21 when Paul says that even though Jesus, who knew no sin, He was made to be sin by His death on the cross, so that we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus covered our not enoughness with His enoughness to make us enough before Christ, before God. Jesus is enough, and if we put our faith and trust in Him, we find peace with God. What is imputed righteousness? Before we understand imputed righteousness, let's understand what imputed means. According to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, impute means to credit or ascribe something or someone to a person. Sorry, something to a person. Imputed means the right to be in the right standing or a right position before someone. And now, put together, imputed righteousness means a right standing or a right positioning has been credited to you before God. You can also think of it as an exchange or a transfer. Jesus is righteous by virtue of His very nature. He is the Son of God, and by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that righteousness is given to all who believe, according to Romans 3:22. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin affects us to its very core of our being, and no matter how good we try to be or how holy we try to live, we will never meet God's standard of perfection on our own. This doesn't mean that we should give up, like I previously mentioned when I once said, "What's the point?" It was only in that point that I actually realized I can't be enough, which was the hard truth that I needed to accept. And by having the righteousness of Christ imputed to me and to us in general, we can be seen as sinless as Jesus is sinless. This is amazing grace. We are sinners by nature, and we cannot make ourselves righteous. We cannot place ourselves in a right standing before God. We are not righteous in ourselves. Rather, God sees Christ's righteousness apply to us. It is not our perfection, but Christ's that God sees when He brings us into fellowship with Himself. We are still sinners, but God is gracious and has declared us to have a righteous standing because Christ paid the price. We need the righteousness of Christ imputed to us because we have no righteousness of our own. On the cross, Jesus took our sin upon Himself and purchased our salvation. We have been justified by His blood. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. A wonderful illustration of Christ's imputed righteousness is found in the parable of the wedding banquet, Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Excuse me. Guests are invited to the king's celebration from every street corner. They are brought in, the bad as well as the good. All guests have something in common. They are given a wedding garment. They are not to wear their street clothes in the banquet hall, but to be dressed in the garment of the king has provided. They are covered in this gracious gift. In similar way, we, as guests invited to God's house, have been given a robe of Christ's righteousness. We receive this gift by grace, of God's grace by faith. And during the feast, the king noticed a man who was not wearing the wedding garment. When he asked how he came to be there, the man had no answer and was promptly escorted from the feast outside into the darkness. And Jesus ends the parable with this statement, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Just as the king provided wedding garments for his guests, God provides salvation for mankind. Our wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ, and unless we have it, we miss the wedding feast. The man escorted out had remained in his street clothing. There was no change. The parable of the wedding feast is also a warning to us to make sure that we are relying on God's provision of salvation, not on our own good works. Religion is man's attempt to work his way towards God, whereas the gospel, we see that God's attempt to reach man and women was through Jesus. The cross is the only way to salvation. John 14:6. The gospel tells us two truths and holds both at full value. In myself, I am not enough. In him, however, I am more than enough. And when I admit that I am not enough, I'm freed to run and cling to God, who is enough. And in him, I far exceed enough. Why do we need Christ's righteousness? We need his imputed righteousness because we do not have the ability to obtain it on our own. To simplify, without Christ's righteousness imputed to us, we would have no hope for salvation, no hope for justification, and no hope for redemption. What would you give to know that your legal acceptance and approval before God was as sure as the standing of his Son, Jesus Christ? It's free. This is what Christ the Savior came to do, to die a death that would remove all our sins and become for us a perfect righteousness. You will not need the approval or validation of others. You can be okay with admitting to your failed attempts at being enough. Look away from yourself and onto Christ and his righteousness. The best part of imputed righteousness is that God desires to credit to anyone willing to believe and receive it. You can receive the free gift of righteousness God offers through faith in Jesus Christ. After truly accepting the good news, following repentance of sin, there will come a point when the inward reality of the righteousness of Christ must shape your outward daily life. This requires obedience and an obligation, not to the old ways of living, but to the new life you have been given in Christ. Like the guests invited to the wedding feast who showed up willingly. What should you do once Christ's righteousness is imputed to your account? Live like it. If you have been saved, live like it. If you have been set free from sin, live like it. If you have been justified by faith, live like it. If you have been declared righteous as he is righteous, live like it. Jesus wants us to recognize our weaknesses and limitations so that we learn to depend on him. He supplies what we lack. As we navigate this life, we will quickly find that we are not enough. But with him and in him, we have everything we need because he is enough. And until Jesus is enough for you, nothing else will be. Trust me, I can attest to this, and I hope many readers can as well. Dwell in the Lord and delight in his ways. God bless you. The end.